I'm Nathan Cones here with your look at the midday news for this Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. Planting surged ahead last week despite severe storms that brought hail, high winds, and tornadoes to parts of the state. According to the latest Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report released by the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa farmers had 6.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending May 17th. Most of those days that weren't available were over the weekend. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says despite the weather challenges, the rainfall was beneficial for many farmers, providing a timely boost to recently planted corn and soybeans. Forecasts for the remainder of this week call for a return to milder and drier conditions, which should allow farmers to resume field work. Corn planting did reach 88% complete statewide, 1 point behind last year, but 6 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. About 46% of the corn crop has emerged, 8 points behind 2025's pace, but 3 points ahead of average. Soybean planting reached 80%, only 1 point behind last year, and 12% ahead of the five-year average. An estimated 28% of soybeans have emerged, 10 points behind last year and 3 points ahead of average. Oat planting is nearly finished at 97%, with 87% of the crop having emerged. Topsoil moisture conditions measured 31% short to very short, 64% adequate, and 5% surplus. Subsoil was 27% short to very short, 69% adequate, and 4% surplus. The statewide average temperature for the week, by the way, was 63.8 degrees Fahrenheit, about 4.6 degrees above normal. You can check their full report online at nass.usda.gov. Authorities have arrested a Missouri Valley man on murder charges in connection with the 2023 disappearance and death of a local resident. According to the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, 35-year-old Jesse George of Missouri Valley was reported missing on June 29th of 2023 to the Missouri Valley Police Department. Since that time, investigators with the DCI worked alongside the Mo Valley Police Department and the Harrison County Sheriff's Office to continue the investigation. In April, officers searched a wooded rural area about 4 miles northwest of Missouri Valley and discovered human remains. The Iowa Office of the State Medical Examiner later confirmed the remains belonged to George and ruled the death a homicide based on an autopsy that showed multiple gunshot wounds. On Monday, DCI agents arrested 52-year-old Joseph Jack Langford III, also of Missouri Valley. Langford has been charged with first-degree murder, a Class A felony, and abuse of a corpse, a Class C felony. Authorities say the investigation remains ongoing and no additional details are being released at this time. The Carroll Fire Department responded last night to a substantial gas leak after a large line was severed at a construction site. According to Carroll Fire Chief Dan Honish, crews were dispatched to the intersection of Clark and 12th Streets at approximately 5:34 p.m. after workers severed a 2-inch gas line. Honish notes the broken line was fed by a larger 4-inch line, which is quite substantial for residential gas transport. Due to the large amount of natural gas that was escaping from the line, firefighters evacuated homes in a nearly 2-block radius as a precaution until Alliant Energy crews could respond to stop the leak and cap the line. Fortunately, Honish says they were able to correct the issue and return to the station in about an hour. The Carroll Police Department also assisted at that scene. The Carroll County Board of Supervisors voted during Monday's meeting to approve assessments for 6 of the county's drainage districts. County Engineer Zach Anderson, who oversees the county's 100 or so drains, says the last year has seen an unusually large amount of repairs that were necessary, and there's more expected in the fall. So the county tracks expenses for each of those districts and maintains a balance dedicated to each one that are then used for repairs as they come up. However, those recent projects could not be delayed, and they'll draw the accounts down combined from $85,000 to about $45,000 once all the bills are paid. To rebuild those funds, Anderson is proposing assessments for 6 of the districts. Individual bills associated with assessments follow a somewhat convoluted formula that's based on the area of land owned, benefit from the drain, and various other factors. Most of the combined repairs for the drainage districts range from a few $100 to a few $1,000s, but in some cases it can reach into the tens of thousands. For example, Drain 45 in Jasper Township had over $18,000 in repairs over the last year. Anderson says county staff tries to avoid drainage district assessments whenever possible, but they simply cannot be avoided in some cases. The supervisors voted unanimously to move forward with those assessments, and county staff will begin preparing them, and they'll appear on the September 2026 tax bills. As county staff work through that process, it's not always immediately obvious how much individual landowners' assessments will be, and those numbers will become available as they work through the assessments. And we do need to step away for just a moment. Stick around. More news after this on KCIM.
Reese Seeds in Coon Rapids is proud to sponsor our FFA Member of the Week feature every Thursday at 10 a.m. on Carroll Broadcasting's social media sites. Celebrate local ag leaders and future farmers. Brought to you by Reese Seeds in Coon Rapids. Find Reese Seeds on Facebook.
At Mackey Motors, we're putting it in drive to celebrate the class of 2026. You've fueled your brains, passed the test track, and now you're ready to cruise into the future. Special shout out to our South Central Calhoun graduates. They're firing on all cylinders. Congrats from your pit crew at Mackey Motors. Together, let's drive.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Governor Kim Reynolds says there are no more details to share with the public about the departure of two top managers from the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, more commonly known as IPERS. The CEO of IPERS and the system's chief benefits officer were placed on administrative leave in April. Reynolds announced near the beginning of the month that the CEO had resigned and the other officer had been fired. Reynolds says the exits were due to a personnel issue.
I have shared from the very beginning that it had no impact whatsoever on the IPERS fund, and there were no criminal charges.
IPERS CEO Greg Samurajski resigned May 1st after 6 years in the post. Last year, he hired Stephen Herbert to be the system's chief benefits officer. The two had worked together at a firm in Alaska previously. Herbert was fired on May 7th. Herbert had been fired from a similar position in Kentucky 4 years ago. A new program in central Iowa is training people for a trade apprenticeship that also preserves low-income homes. Participants in the program, known as Work That Improves Housing, will go through residential and commercial training in construction. They'll spend 4 months doing tasks like repairing low-income houses and doing commercial training in carpentry or electrical work. Julian Neely from the Polk County Housing Trust Fund says the program is unique because it prioritizes adults.
What are some gaps? And what we saw was adults. And so this is an opportunity for adults to make that transition and that leap, that career change.
Participants also get paid for the program. Neely says usually people pay to do a pre-apprenticeship, so this option is more accessible. The program includes apprenticeship readiness by repairing lower income homes in selected Des Moines neighborhoods. And Neely says he intentionally chose those areas.
We are driving resources to underserved neighborhoods or neighborhoods that might just need a little bit more investment.
Neely says he wanted to find a way to remove barriers for workforce development and also improve lower income housing at the same time. At least 26 people have already applied for the program. And by the way, that application deadline is today. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at the midday news right here on KCIM. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.